I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to this Fireside Folklore episode of Stories of Scotland. I'm Annie, and I'm a beaked toad.
And I'm Jenny, a repugnant snake. This episode is inspired by the chat I had at Dundregan Rewilding Centre the other week. If you haven't listened to the episode that came from that, then go give it a listen. It's great. But whilst I was chatting to Kiva, who does a lot of the folklore over there, she mentioned a mysterious warrior woman who lived in the Fortress of Shadows on the Isle of Skye. And so naturally, this set me off in search of the Fortress of Shadows and the warrior woman within its walls. But first off, I do have to just say I just finished reading The Lord of the Rings, and something called the Fortress of Shadows could happily be situated in the middle of Middle-earth and no one would bat an eye.
Tolkien loved Celtic and Norse mythology, so this wouldn't surprise me at all. The Fortress of Shadow can also be translated as the Fort of Fear sometimes, and it can be another name for the other world. So it's indicative that we have some very heavy legends coming our way.
Before we get to them, let's stick to the real world for a little bit. After some digging, I found the castle that is said to have been home to this mysterious warrior woman. Its ruins are still just about visible today, but it's very often overlooked. So much so that it's not even mentioned in my Castles of Scotland book, and that has never happened before, no matter how ruinous the castle is.
I am shooketh, Jenny. I am shooketh.
I checked 4 times. There's like multiple different names for the castle. I was checking Gaelic spellings. I was looking at all these different things. Nothing. This castle was called Dunscar Castle, and it sat on the western side of the Sleat Peninsula in the south of Skye. Well, you could kind of argue that it's not on Skye at all, because it actually sits 6 metres off the coast on a standalone rock in the ocean. The castle that now lies in ruins today was built sometime in the 13th century and was originally home to the Clan MacDonald of Sleat.
Whether it's in the Castles of Scotland book or not, this castle is all about location, location, location. It's in a scenic spot. You can look up north across the water and see the Coolins in all their might. But more importantly, it is a brilliant strategic location. Because what's better protection than being surrounded by 40-foot sheer cliffs on all sides?
I don't know, like a moat full of snakes?
Hold your snakes there, Jenny.
Slithery little spoilers coming up.
In addition to this, a walled bridge was built from Skye to this wee island, but they didn't quite let the bridge reach all the way. Instead, for the last wee stretch, they had a drawbridge. And so with the crank of a chain, the castle could be completely isolated from the tumultuous wars on the island. It's a ready-made moat.
Well, despite these wonderful defences, in classic Sky feud fashion, the MacLeods wrestled the castle from the MacDonalds in the 14th century. But in even more classic Sky feud fashion, the MacDonalds wrestled it back in the 15th century. However, by the 17th century, after the power of the Lord of the Isles had been greatly diminished, the MacDonalds ultimately abandoned the castle. And since then, it has slowly crumbled, moss-covered stone by moss-covered stone, into the sea below. And now, all that is left is ruins, easily overlooked by all, including a book dedicated to Scottish castles. Outrageous. Annie, I'm complaining to the editors.
Great plan, Jenny. You can be the Karen of the castles. So, what does this all have to do with a formidable warrior woman?
Well, the clue is in the name. For Dunscar is derived from the Gaelic for Fortress of Shadow. And it gets this name from its original inhabitant, a woman shrouded in mystery, myth, and the mists of time. Skaach, the Shadow. The current ruins of Dunscar Castle actually sit upon the foundations of an even older stronghold that at one point was a vitrified fort. I did a Patreon about vitrified forts a few months ago, so if you want to learn all about them, you can join our Patreon. But it is very likely that this ancient vitrified fort is where the mysterious Skaha lived over 2,000 years ago, around 200 BCE, deep in the Iron Age. And within the heavily fortified walls of her home on this little island, she trained the fiercest, strongest, and straight up best warriors in all of the world. Not just the best in Britain, not just the best in Europe, I'm talking the best in the world. She was a master in martial arts, combat, sword fighting, strategy, and strength. Now, unfortunately, it's really hard to find much out about her before she was this ultimate warrior and warrior teacher. But it is said she was one of two daughters to Ord Grimne of Lethra, meaning the King of Lethra. Her sister, Eva, was equally as talented in warcraft, if not more so. For while Skaha had the abilities to train the best warriors, Eva was the best warrior. They were a truly formidable pair, and it seems that warring was in their DNA. For despite being sisters, they were also bitter enemies. Eva too lived on Skye and had her own school of warriors, and there was nothing she cared more for than her horses and chariot. Unfortunately, this is about as much of Skaha's original story that I could dig up, and I wish there was more in her early days. But luckily for us, there are a fair few stories about her once her Iron Age warrior school is set up and thriving. And these stories all come from the Ulster Cycle of Irish folklore.
So the Ulster Cycle is one of the four cycles in Irish mythology, the other three being the Mythological Cycle, the Fianna Cycle, and the King's Cycle. And while Skye is obviously not quite in Ireland, we can't forget that back in the day, the water was the main motorway for the time. And so, although we've got two different countries here, Ireland was incredibly accessible to the people of the Western Isles and coasts of Scotland. And so we see a lot of cultural exchange.
The sagas and stories that make up the Ulster Cycle take place in the Iron Age, and they focus on many heroes and protagonists, but none more so than Cú Chulainn. Cú Chulainn was thought to be a demigod, and as soon as he was born, he showed signs of becoming a great warrior. By the time he was a teenager, his reputation was known all over the land. For not only was he a fearsome fighter, he was also ravishingly good-looking. So beautiful was Cú Chulainn that all the men in Ireland feared that without a wife of his own, he would surely steal theirs, or worse still, their daughters. And so they all grouped together and began a wide search of all of Ireland for a suitable wife for this young warrior. But Cú Chulainn had different plans, for he had already fallen in love with a maiden called Ymir. Ymir was the second daughter to the powerful Forgall monarch, aka Forgall the Sly. And when Forgall heard of Cú Chulainn's plans to marry his daughter, he was outraged. For Ymir was not his eldest daughter, and his eldest daughter was still unmarried. And at this time, it was strict custom that the eldest daughter must be married before the younger ones. And so, it was impossible for Ymir to marry before her elder sister. Forgall offered Cú Chulainn his eldest daughter instead. But Cú Chulainn was having none of it. He loved Ymir and he was going to marry her, no matter what her father said. When Forgall saw this young warrior's resolve, he knew that to deny him the hand of Ymir would bring untold destruction upon his house. And so he made Cú Chulainn an offer. If the young warrior went to Alba and completed his training with the famous warrior woman Skahach, then, and only then, would he gain Ymir's hand in marriage. Cú Chulainn accepted this offer and set off immediately. But old Forgall the Sly chuckled to himself, for Skahach was the fiercest warrior trainer in all the world. And you either completed her training, or you died trying. And Forgall knew exactly what outcome was in store for Cú Chulainn. But if Cú Chulainn wanted the honour of training with Skahach, first he had to find her. He left the shores of Ireland and sailed the perilous seas. He passed over the plain of ill luck with its razor-sharp grasses, fought beasts and monsters in the glen of peril, and climbed over the fearsome mountains. On the far side of these jagged peaks, he came across Skahach's pupils resting in a meadow, and he asked them the way to her fortress. They all sneered at this man and laughed at his confidence, but they pointed him to a looming fort on an island, with a mighty bridge between the shore and the castle. The students told him that only a proven champion may cross the bridge. Taking no heed of their jeers, Cú Chulainn jumped onto the bridge and ran across it. But as soon as he crossed halfway, great counterweights swung underneath, lifting the surface and flinging him backwards onto the land. Three times he tried to cross the bridge, and three times it threw him backwards. And three times the group of pupils roared with glee. Then came the fourth time. Cú Chulainn stood dusting his tunic, and as he did so, an unnameable rage boiled up within him. He dashed onto the bridge, and as the bridge swung to throw him off, he channeled this rage in a sort of triple jump that catapulted him like a salmon through the air, and he landed solidly on the other side. No laughter came from the students then. Burning rage still boiling within him, Cú Chulainn knocked the door to the fortress so hard with his spear that it pierced the gnarled wood. The gatekeeper opened the door. She was a strong young woman named Uachach, and she was Skahach's daughter. She informed him that if he was serious about training under the mighty Skahach, he must sneak up into the yew tree where she currently rested without waking her, and put his sword upon her heart. And so, slowly, Cú Chulainn slithered like a sneaky little snake into the yew's branches. Skahach awoke with a jolt to find a sword on her chest. He had passed the test, and so she took him as her pupil. The training was rigorous, and Skahach was unrelenting in the drilling of her students. She taught them the arts of war, from pole vaulting to jump castle walls, to underwater fighting for when you get in a spot of trouble with a merperson. But most importantly, and most revered, was the teaching of how to use the Gaabolg spear. This she only taught to her most talented student. And her most talented student was Cú Chulainn. The spear was of her own invention and a brutal instrument of war. It was thrown with the foot, and once released, it was deadly accurate. It could kill from a great distance and penetrate the thickest of shields. But what made it a truly evil device was that once it had penetrated the poor target, its head opened into hundreds of spiked barbs and splinters, and the only way it could be removed was by cutting it out, meaning certain death for anyone who was unlucky enough to be on the receiving end of it.
Hang on a wee minute, Jenny. What position do you need to be in to throw a spear with your foot?
The first time I read this, I was like, that's a typo. And then it came up in every single rendition, every single story, pictures. There are pictures of him, like, sort of half cartwheel. So one hand on the ground, one foot on the ground. The other foot has the Gaabolg spear between his toes. And then with the might of his thunder thighs, he would just launch it. And with the precision of those tiny little toes of his, he'd just never miss. Boom.
Have you ever seen an orangutan holding a banana with its feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, so is he holding the spear in the same way that the orangutan would hold that banana?
No. He's got it like wedged between his big toe and his index toe. Well, actually, no, maybe it's like he curls his toes around it like a little fist. I don't know, I'm going to have to learn how to read Irish Gaelic and then go read the original texts, because I feel there's definitely something lost in translation here.
I wonder if they were just brewing some particularly strong ale. Something got in that ferment and they were like, it can't just be a normal spear. It's a foot spear.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I think it is also like he's not a normal warrior. He needs weapons and tools of epic proportions. And I mean, what is more epic than being able to throw the most deadly spear in the world with your foot? I mean, that's crazy. During his time in the Fortress of Shadows, Cú Chulainn got up to many shenanigans, including taking Skaach's daughter, Uachach, to bed, and killing her husband. But it seems that his mentor Skaach didn't seem to mind this, for he was a brilliant student, and she wasn't a massive fan of her son-in-law anyway. But one day, Eva, her sister and bitter rival, rocked up to the fortress gates. She had heard of the mighty warrior Skaach was training and wanted to prove her dominance. She made easy work of the counterweight mechanism by driving her chariot at full speed across it. Her horses were more muscular than any in the world. With her, she had three of her best warriors, and they were ready to fight. Skaach knew of her sister's prowess, and thus feared for Cú Chulainn's life. And so, before the battle, she decided to slip him a powerful sleeping potion that would send him to sleep for 24 hours, and thus keep him from the battle. But Cú Chulainn was no mere mortal, and the potion only put him to sleep for an hour. When he awoke, he wasted no time in joining the fight. He made easy work of Eva's three best warriors and then challenged her to single combat. The pair were so closely matched that they fought for hours, neither one gaining the upper hand. But eventually, Cú Chulainn had a flash of brilliance, for he knew that Eva loved nothing more than her horses and chariot. And so he cried out that they had just been driven off the cliff in the fray behind her. Oh my gosh, over there. And what do you know? Eva turned around in a panic to see. And Cú Chulainn finally managed to disarm her and hold his sword to her throat. She begged him for her life. And seeing an opportunity, he decided not to kill her, but on two conditions. One, she forego her rivalry with her sister and never attack her again. and two, she bare him a son. Eva agreed to these terms, and what do you know, once the swords were down, they found out that they actually got on pretty well, and soon enough, Eva fell pregnant. As thanks for his help, Skaach promised to train Cú Chulainn even more closely, and to predict his future career as a warrior, for she was also a very accomplished seer. This she did, and after a year, Cú Chulainn left Dunska, the Fortress of Shadows, and his trainer, Skaach, the Shadow, to return to Ireland. When he turned up on Forgall the Sly's doorstep, the old man was flabbergasted. And despite Cú Chulainn completing his training under the mightiest warrior teacher in the world, Forgall denied him his daughter's hand in marriage. But the old man's plan had not only backfired because Cú Chulainn had survived, he was now also literally the mightiest warrior to have ever lived, and Forgall was standing in the way of what he wanted. So Cú Chulainn killed the old man, stormed his castle, stole all his gold, and married his second eldest daughter, Ymir.
If I was her, I would be a wee bit annoyed about what he'd got up to in Skye.
You know, Annie, I'm not gonna lie, that's not even the half of it. Let's just say Cú Chulainn had a lot of fun on Skye.
I mean, it was more than fun, Jenny. I'd be like, oh, you did all of this for me. Wait, you did what? And where's my dad? Why isn't he walking me down the aisle? But that's definitely a tale, Jenny. And you can tell it's one of the traditional ones because it's so strange.
It is. It's a great story. But really, overall, it's just a small part of Cú Chulainn's story in the Ulster cycle. He goes on to fully utilise his training that he got from Skaach to live a battle-filled, heroic, but ultimately, as she predicted, short life. Many things circle back from his time at the Fortress of Shadows with Skaach. The various specific fighting techniques he learned there, the deadly spear, his son with Eva, all the friends he made, and even his flying salmon leap. If you want to hear these stories, you'll have to read the Ulster Cycle of Folklore yourselves. And I do highly recommend doing this because it is a wild ride.
I absolutely adore that we have this mighty warrior woman with her extreme martial arts training school in the south of Skye, and that it's this that completely powers their heroic journeys in the Ulster cycle. However, Jenny, what happens to our dear Skaach? What becomes of her?
Well, for one, her sister never bothered her again, and her warrior school continued to train many of the Ulster Cycle's greatest warriors. Eventually, her talents and powers were recognised beyond the world of us mortals, and she went on to become the Celtic goddess of the dead, ensuring the passage of the mighty warriors killed in battle to Chir na n-og, the land of eternal youth.
My favourite story about Skaach is one of the challenges that she makes her warriors endure in their training. So it begins with a pit of repugnant snakes.
It's a very specific type of snake.
I want the most disgusting snakes you've got.
Is there like an auditioning process where it's like, sorry, you're not repugnant enough. Next.
So the warriors have to be really brave and slay all of these serpents like they're St. Patrick.
This is the worst gig I've ever had.
And then just when they think they've defeated the last of the reptiles, out come the amphibians. And the warriors in training are suddenly swarmed by toads who have sharp beaks and who turn into dragons.
What?
So you've got these strange pecking toads at you, who are also becoming dragons.
I think I preferred the repugnant snakes, honestly. Bring back the stanky snakes.
And then by defeating these beaked toads, the warriors would be given great rewards. So they'd get gold, silver, as much meat as they could possibly eat.
Now we're talking.
And sometimes, if they were very lucky, they'd get the three magical crows who could pull a ship back to your homeland. So they could pull your ship back to Ireland, which you might want to do to avoid any more cold-blooded creatures in the Skahag's Fortress of Fear.
Also, good for carbon emissions. You know, three crows emit a lot less carbon than a steamship.
Who needs coal when you have crows?
Crow power.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, Jenny, so when you told me we were looking at warrior women, I immediately thought of women with weapons who take down powerful enemies.
Give them an axe, sword, or morning star, and these warriors will take down the fiercest of foes. Or three crows.
I can do anything with three crows and a foot spear. This is one of those stories, but not in the way that you expect it to be. This comes from a Gaelic ballad called Am Bron Bean. And I've seen this translated as either the melodious sorrow or the sweet sorrow. So I'm really sorry, Jenny. I'm doing another one of those stories.
Why do you always do these stories? You're always like, what's the saddest thing I can find? If it doesn't have sorrow in the title, I don't want to hear it.
Now, bear with me, Jenny. This is an Arthurian story set in Scotland. And for me, it's just a really unusual one for the Knights of the Round Table. It begins with the King of Scotland, who is the mythological King Arthur in this song. King Arthur, at this time, he's a young man, a warrior king in his own right. He's won many battles and defeated many dragons. But all that work is exceptionally tiring. Like all kings, Arthur goes to sleep in a big four-poster bed hung with tapestries of stunning silks that are embroidered with his successes in battles and the monsters he has slain. When King Arthur falls asleep, he dreams. And one night he dreams of a woman, the most beautiful woman under the sun and the moon. She's absolutely mesmerizing to him. And so when he wakes up, he tells all the knights of the Round Table about the woman of his dreams. However, King Arthur is doing this in a way that's kind of low-key rude. He tells them that he'd rather be speaking to this really beautiful woman than any of his knights. All he'll talk to them about is her. And so his knights grow really tired of it until one of them steps up. In this story, he's called Fionn Failleach, but this is often translated to Sir Gawain, who's the top Arthurian knight in most of the British legends. But this is the Gaelic version, so let's stick with Fionn Failleach. Fionn Failleach makes a big scene and he declares to King Arthur,
I'll be your champion. And I'll bring this beautiful woman to you.
He's the Shrek to Lord Farquaad.
Exactly! Except, instead of getting to keep his swamp, he's just getting Farquaad, King Arthur, to be quiet. And there's no dragon yet, so this story is far less dangerous. Anyway, Fionn Failleach promises to get the dream woman and he decides to bring some companions on this journey, some sidekicks. So he brings his son and he brings his dog, and then he sets out to find King Arthur a wife. These three jump on the ship because King Arthur's dream indicated that the mystery woman was really, really far away. And in their sailing ship, they traverse the seas, and it's an amazing journey.
Wait, so are they heading anywhere? Are they just hoping for the best? Are they calling for a beautiful woman?
So Jenny, if you think of it as the kind of winds of fate in these stories.
Okay.
So you see a woman in your dreams and, you know, she might not be a cartographer, but you can see that she's in a different climate to you, so you're going to need to go quite far.
Right, you just wing it.
You have to trust that if you jump on a ship and keep sailing, eventually that ship will bump right into her.
I mean, to be fair, there are beautiful women all over the world, so you could just land somewhere and be like, you'll do.
Gosh, Jenny, we can't suddenly start applying logic to mythology.
You're right. Sorry, the foot spear would just fail instantly.
So on this journey, they see mermaids and water dragons and bottlenose dolphins and giant clams that try to snap up the ship, but they just keep sailing. It's like a wildlife tour, except exceptionally lethal. And the journey lasts for exactly 7 weeks and 3 months.
Why not 4 months and 3 weeks?
Because it's more poetic this way, Jenny.
Got it. Yeah, poetic winds blowing us far and wide.
But they are at sea this long because they haven't seen dry land where they can bring their ship to safe harbour. And so they are starting to worry that they are simply going to go off the edge of the world, because this was back when the world still had edges that you could fall off.
Some people will still argue with that one, Annie.
And they're about to lose faith that they're ever going to see land again. However, suddenly the dog starts barking with great excitement, and the wee boy does a little jig. And then Fionn Fálach breathes a sigh of relief, because far away on the horizon, something is beginning to emerge. As they sail closer, they see an incredible castle of white and blue, with loads and loads of windows. So when you Google blue and white castles, the main one that comes up is the Disney castle, and they definitely weren't going to Disneyland. So I'm thinking that they were probably travelling to either Morocco or somewhere along the Mediterranean Sea, where blue and white buildings are more common, so maybe Greece? What do you think, Jenny? If you were going to sail for 7 weeks and 3 months and end up in a place with blue and white castles, which country do you think it would be in?
I think they sailed to Florida and are literally at Disneyland.
Well, what happens next is 100% a Disneyland review. Fionn Fálach brings his ship to dock and finally steps foot on land after those long 7 weeks and three almost endless months. And they discover that this castle is far richer and more sublime than anything that they have ever seen in Scotland. All the inhabitants have tons of breads and fruits and meats, and gorgeous goblets of fresh juice and wine. All the people are wearing opulent fabrics of vivid colours and beads, and they have very healthy hair like in a shampoo advert. It's a truly spectacular land of abundance, and Fionn Fálach believes he has entered dreamland itself. And his son plays in a fountain of crystal clear water, whilst eating a sweet fruit and its sticky juice runs down his little chin, and the dog has found a mighty big bone and is wagging her tail. Fionn Fálach heads straight for the castle, and they welcome him instantly. Often in the days of King Arthur, knights from distant lands would be asked to lay down their arms at the castle gate. That was seen as a fair deal, because if you're an unknown person, you can't just march into someone else's castle swinging your weapons. However, the castle guards of this land are incredibly trusting, and they just wave Fionn Fallach through. They welcome him as a fellow warrior. There's this implicit understanding that he's going to be following the knight's codes of honour. Fionn Fallach finds his way into the great hall of the castle, and here he lays his eyes for the first time on King Arthur's dream woman. She is sitting on a throne of gold which glimmers in the sunlight that floods in through the window. She is as beautiful as King Arthur had described, dressed in robes and a veil of white fabric that cascades from her like a waterfall. Her eyes are bright and her teeth are perfectly naturally white. She's clearly the sovereign of her lands, and Fionn Fallach could not imagine a more perfect wife for Arthur. And her fingers are dancing over the strings of a harp and making the sweetest music that anyone from any land has ever heard. This great knight of warrior blood feels a wetness stream down his cheek because he is so touched by the music that she is creating. There could be no greater blessing for the Kingdom of Scotland than this woman and her harp that she plucks with such ease and grace. Fionn Fallach has no doubt that it is this music that has inspired the people of this foreign land to have such success and to create their bounty of riches. Fionn Fallach approaches her slowly so she is not scared, and she continues playing her harp. He finds himself standing at the foot of her golden throne, still engrossed in the song that she is playing and thinking of her wonderful future in Scotland. Fionn Fallach feels a closeness and intimacy to this woman because her music has made him understand the very nature of his own heart and soul. So he lays his head on her lap, as though he is a child and she is a mother. All 7 weeks and 3 months on the wildest oceans was worth it for this perfect moment, this calm lullaby. However, this woman looks upon Fionn Fallach, a warrior from a strange land, a cold land, and she thinks he is bringing frozen blessings. So as Fionn Fallach puts his head upon her lap, she seizes the great claymore sword from his belt and she lifts it high. In the space of a long note that is reverberating from her harp, she wields the weapon and she cuts off his head. And so, the head of the greatest warrior of Scotland falls to the floor of the golden throne room, and the beautiful woman of dreams continues to play her harp. The reeking red blood of Fionn Fallach floods her white garments, but she does not worry for this, because she has a land of milk and honey, and her dreams were warm, not cold like Scotland. And that is the song of sweet sorrow that the woman of dreams plays upon her harp.
Huh. Well, that's not quite the Shrek-like story I was expecting at the beginning of this.
I find this story really interesting. Firstly, for the parallel that it had with the story that you told about the Skaach, because both of these women who know how to wield a weapon, they build these amazing castles. So the Skaach has her fortress of shadow or her fortress of fear, and then the dream woman has built a palace of dreams, which is fascinating. And then I also see this as a bit of an anti-colonial song, because it's saying, hey, think of this faraway land with a ton of resources and send a warrior to steal their queen. And these people just decide, nope, not today, Fionn Fallach. Off with your head. And also, what I love most about the story is that the dream woman is thinking smarter, not harder. She doesn't even need to sharpen a sword to be able to chop off his head. She just uses his own weapon.
Both of our stories show women leading with weapons. One with literally every kind of foot spear, axe, morning star, and pointy thing you can imagine. And another with a harp and a sleepy man's sword. These women lead through both their strength and strategy. And while they both wield weapons, they also use the second sight to know when the moment is right to strike.
While we at Stories of Scotland will never condone violence, we always advise you that you stand your ground against any beaked toads who happen to turn into dragons. Thank you so much for listening to Stories of Scotland. Jenny has just popped up another Warrior Woman story for you on Patreon. So if you are considering decapitating anyone who gets between you and your golden throne, now is the time to join. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, Slangeva.
Slangeva.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.